Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the interim report January to September 2017. My name is Anna, and I will be your coordinator for today's conference. For the duration of this call, you will be on listening only. However, at the end of this presentation, you will have opportunity to ask questions. If any time you need assistance, please press star 0 on your telephone keypad and there will be an operator connecting to you. I will now hand you over to CEO Per Oscarsson and CFO Åsa Källenius to begin today's conference. Thank you.
Okay, hello. Per Oscarsson here, and by my side, as just said, I have Åsa, and we will present to you the third quarter for Mekonomen Group. And I will start just with, if you have the presentation on page 2, some short summary. We believe that we have a sales in line with the market trend, which is quite weak, and a market which we feel slow both in Sweden and Norway. We have a disappointing result and a weak EBIT, which is possibly affected by items affecting comparability, but underlying we have quite a weak result. And by that, I will hand over to Åsa, who will present the segment.
Hello, everybody. I will present the segment. And I will also try to explain to you all the effects of non-occurring items so you understand where in the segments we have non-recurring items. We start with MECA on page 4 in the presentation. We had a fairly good sales in MECA. Remember, we had one workday less this quarter compared to last year. So we have a good sales to MECA car service workshops and also good sales of DAB products in Norway. And then that goes, DAB sale in Norway goes for all our brands in Norway. We have improved gross margin driven by MECA Sweden. We have pressure on margins in MECA Norway due to the high DAB sales in the quarter. EBIT was negatively affected by earnings in Precast. Precast had good sales, but not that high EBIT in the quarter, affecting the total negatively. But EBIT margin reaches 10% as our goal is long term. Next page, Mekonomen Sweden. We still have a weak, continued weak sales in Mekonomen Sweden. We think we see a stabilization internally in the organization and the systems, etc. But it will take time to regain market share for Mekonomen Sweden. So weak sales, still weak sales in the quarter. I will come back with items affecting comparability later on, but you could say that the lower EBIT is related to lower sales. To make it easy. Next page, Mekonomen Norway. As in the other Norwegian companies, we have an increased sales in DAB products, and DAB products pressure the gross margin. We have a pressure on gross margin from DAB products. Rather heavily in Mekonomen Norway, and we also have increased costs in the quarter. So bad EBIT in Norway, and we will come back to that as well. But we as always, are looking over our cost structure, and we are a little bit extra looking over cost structure in Mekonomen in Norway at the moment. EBIT is down. We reached 10% EBIT margin, but it's down from last year's quarter. Next page is Sørensen og Balchen. Stable result, you can say, even though we also here have a high DAB sales with lower margin, gross margin than other products, but an efficient cost control keeping EBIT on a stable level. Let's go over to the next page, page eight in the presentation. It's a page trying to explain the non-recurring items we have in the month, in the quarter. We have positive 7 million in quarter three 2017, and we have negatively 18 million in Q3 2016, making the difference to a total of 25 million between the quarters. If we look at this first area, that's Mekonomen Sweden. Mekonomen Sweden EBIT amounts to +1 million in the quarter compared to 2016, but we have a positive effect from non-recurring of 8 million, and that comes from the closure of the Båstad store last year, amounting to approximately 5 million. We have an item in this quarter amounting to 3 million related to, there you must help me, Per, with the Volvo.
The driving belts, which we had warranty issues with last year.
Yeah. We had a reserve last year that we could release this year, you can say. To summarize, -10 is from lower sales. We have reduced personnel employee costs in Sweden, and it's the green one amounting to 6 million. We have 5 million from positive difference from last year due to the Båstad closure of the store in Båstad last year. In total, if you look to EBIT in Mekonomen Sweden without recurring, you have -7 million. Moving on to Mekonomen Norway, we have no non-recurring effects there, so the EBIT is -13, as I described, from lower gross margin and also higher employee costs. MECA is +1 million in the quarter, and we have a positive effect. It's not a non-recurring, but we have a positive effect no longer having MECA Denmark in the portfolio. Moving on to other, there we have +15 million, and that's related to costs we had last year in changing management, affecting Q3 2016, and the comparability in this quarter, of course. 125 million EBIT last year, Q3, and 127 this year. Yep, I leave to you, Per.
Thank you. Then we'll go on and talk a little bit about market and growth, and I'm on page 10 in the presentation. When we look at the car sales, new registered passenger cars, and also the number of cars in traffic, we can see that we have an increase, which we have had the last couple of years. Provided that scrapping or export doesn't increase from this level, we see a potential for an increasing market in the future. We say that our sweet spot in the when we talk about age of car starts somewhere in 5-6 years of age until 12 years, and probably somewhere in the middle we have the biggest market shares on the independent side. So the good sales, which has been the last 2-3 years, still has some more years to come until it hits our sweet spot in the market. But we believe that there is a big possibility to have an increase in the future. Going on page 11, where we try to explain how the development is divided into our different customer groups. We have a positive trend in affiliated workshops. This is the most important channel for us in the future, because this is the branded workshops, which stands for the quality and all the values which we want to be. We have a decline in consumer sales, probably because of a lot of different factors, but the new online trend definitely has some impact in our sales to consumers as well. Other B2B customers is a very large group containing everything between a very small garage, which is not branded, to a big chain of gas stations and so on. We have a decline, but when we look inside, there's a lot of difference between the different groups inside. So we have some ups and some downs. The trend which we can't stop is the trend that a lot of the smaller garages, cease to exist in the market. And those garages with 1-2 mechanics, they tend to close down or disappear. And even if they continue, they definitely lose market shares on their local markets. So that's a very difficult customer group to handle in the future. We do what we can to keep as much sales as possible as long as it's possible. But again, the most important is the affiliated workshops. Partner stores is down 10%, but that is very small group of customers, and this is nothing dramatic in those numbers. Moving on to page 12, where we see the footprint of stores and workshops. It's quite stable. When you look at the trend for future years, the big decline in number of workshops has a lot to do to the divestment of the Danish market. Within Sweden and Norway, we are stable. We have all the time new workshops coming in, and we have all the time some who leaves us, and we also have all the time higher the quality demands of the workshops being in our change, which needs this to be changed all the time. But it's still stable. And number of stores is also very much stable. And there I'm quite confident that we have the footprint which we need, and we... it's more a smaller adjustment in local areas where we sometimes add one or sometimes close one down. Moving on to page 13, about Promeister, even if the quarter had a little bit smaller level of Promeister, we still have a positive trend if we look at the total. Promeister is an area which has high importance, and we are focusing now on adding more categories and more products into this product line. However, the quality is extremely important for us in the future. So we do a lot of testing and before we launch to the market, which means that we have probably compared to before quite slower time to market, but the quality is so important for us in this matter. And we really need to Boom Rescue to be a premium brand, because that's what we believe is needed for the future. Page 14, central warehouse proceeding according to plan. As we have communicated before, we will have from 2020 savings of 50 million. The shell of the new building in Strängnäs has been completed, and now we are in the process to install the automation solution. We will also quite shortly install a new inventory management system. We do that before we run the new central warehouse, just not to take any risk of doing that at the same time. We can also announce that we have made a small investment in a company named Swedespot, where we now own 20% of that company. This is based in Trollhättan and it comes from the developed from the car industry in that area. They are very good in connected cars and are doing it both for car manufacturers in embedded versions, and they are also good in the market for connecting retrofit connected cars into older ones. Interesting company, very fast growing and very highly technical level, and for us this will be a good investment and also a good possibility to create new and interesting solutions for the car owners in the future. Can also make some information about the test that we're doing on where we trying to have customer reception on distance. This is a check-in station, similar to what you can find in airports, where you can check in your car and leave the keys, and then the mechanics can pick up the keys and take the car to the appropriate workshop and make it fixed. What you also have in this, that you have a live connection to a person, which through video can ask you the right questions, and you can also tell about your other problems in your car and have a dialogue in this way. As I said, this is a test in two workshops. If this is something that the consumers like, then we see a good potential that we can move out the customer reception to areas where we usually don't exist. So it's interesting for the future. I also want to inform that it has this is for the second year. We have a speedy workshop that has been best in class in the Lasingo challenge. This is of course very interesting, where we have extremely high customer feedback from the consumers. And saying that, I would say that speed is also a concept that we believe is very interesting for the future, and which we think we can do much interesting things with further on. There has been finally decided about the Swedish Common Quality Standard. This is done both by the independent workshops and the authorized, so it's a common standard for all the markets. And this is a standard which we will implement in all the workshops affiliated to us in Mekonomen Group. And this will start in the end of this year. We still have a lack of mechanics, and that is a challenge for the industry and for us. We try to help our workshop with the recruitment campaigns. We try to cooperate with authorities and educational forums in any ways to find the good mechanics. We have also started the upper secondary school, ProMeister Education, on two locations in Sweden, a total of 32 students at the moment. This, of course, will take some time until they are out working, but it's very important for us to do that and to make sure that we have the right people in the future as well. And then, of course, we have the ProMeister Academy, which is further training and development of the existing automotive mechanics. Last page about the strategic focus areas. I would say that Mekonomen Sweden, we have check on that. Not that we can see it in sales and results, but according to what was the focus to regain the entrepreneurial sales organization, that work is done, and then the company have the right organization for the future, and they have all the possibilities to be better off in the future, at least if we go from the organization point of view. In Mekonomen Sweden, you also heard about the problems which we had in installing new ERP systems during last year, where we stopped at 30 stores and took a pause. That installation process is regained, and now we have another five installed, and now it's the process works smoothly. But we will slowly, one by one, continue this work further on. We also have a focus area this year, which was about cost control, and we had cost savings programs. Those are finished, but however, as you understand, with the results which you can see in Q3, this is nothing which is which end by that. There is a lot of continuous effectiveness work done in the company, especially I would say in Mekonomen Norway and Mekonomen Sweden. We're still working heavily with that. The other focus areas is, of course, the continued quality assurance, both in workshops and concepts. As I just talked about, ProMeister and ProMeister Academy, very important. We have the strategic projects, were mentioned before, the central warehouse, but worth mentioning is also the other project, which is the new e-commerce platform, which we will start with pilot testing now in the end of the year, and have a rollout plan starting during next year. And then, of course, we still need to have a good focus on growth and innovation so we can get the sales developed in the right direction in the future. So that's also continued focus. That was what we had from the presentation point of view. So now we will open up for questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. To withdraw your question, please press star 2 to withdraw it. We will then introduce you with your name when it's your turn to ask your question. And the first question come from Michael Lufdahl from Carnegie. Please go ahead, your line is now open.
Yes, hi. First of all, could you speak a bit more on the gross margin, what impacted the quarter compared to last year? Because if you look at the sales mix, I mean, you are talking about Norway and DAB products, and also when we look at the customer groups, how they have developed, that should suggest a bit weaker, I guess, gross margin this quarter compared to last year. So could you perhaps explain a bit more about the gross margin development?
Yes, I can start. Per will fill in later with customer groups. But if you look at the margins from DAB sales are pushing gross margin downwards, but we also have stronger margins in some of our companies like Meka Sweden, for instance. pushing margins up, making the total margins on about the same level as last year. It's a give and take in margins, and the pressure on margins from DAB comes from the Norwegian companies.
Yeah. And I would say that the DAB sales is what affected most. Then you also have some of the trends from before where we, as you see, when we talk about customers groups, I said that we are increasing on affiliated, and we are declining on other B2B. And that will normally pressure the margin down because the affiliated workshops is usually bigger buyers, and they have better rebates. That should be, in the future, compensated by lower OpEx.
Yeah. And another thing you can remember is that we no longer have MECA Denmark. And that improves the gross margin as well. The margin in Denmark were lower than
the total. Okay. When we look at this business mix then, given this trend of declining other B2B customers and also the consumer side, I mean, the gross margins are obviously higher in those segments, but what about OpEx? Is it typically more OpEx related to, I mean, sales costs, for instance, related to sales to non-affiliated workshops than the affiliated ones?
So
would that mean that you should be able to decrease your OpEx as those shares decline?
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, when you compare to consumers, the retail, then it's quite obvious to have one person standing behind the desk and selling things to consumer is quite expensive compared to just picking order of several thousands to a workshop. So that's very natural. But also when you compare to, it's not the fact that it's affiliated and other B2B. It's the fact that it's larger customers which have better terms. But of course, when we can send out to one big customers, we should be able to decrease the OpEx. And that's also one of the reasons why it's so important to have the growth within the chosen strategic channels, because there we can, in the future, be more effective. However, this is effects out in the stores, which are quite small, and it's not so many employees. So it doesn't happen just overnight that the cost will reduce, but there's good possibility for the future.
And given that you have lost market share during the last couple of years, have you perhaps not decreased OpEx deliberately to regain market share? Is that what we're seeing now?
It's both. We have the cost saving programs which we had, and the work which is continuously done is all the time to adjust so we have the right organization. However, we don't want to reduce number of salesmen, for example, and those people who are directly involved into sales. And that's exactly from her point of view, because we want to be on that market and we want to regain the market shares. So it's decrease on the people just moving the things, but we keep them who are sales connected.
Okay, and regarding OpEx then in Norway, it's obviously there that you've had increased personnel costs. But here you're speaking about initiatives to address this. So could you elaborate on that? And also, is it just wage inflation we're talking about here, or what is it that has happened in Norway?
It's a combination. You have the wage inflation, which is significant, of course, but then you also have the fact that we have, for example, we have bought some, acquired some stores, so we got some more people in. However, we didn't get the sales out of that, so we couldn't compensate that with higher sales. There's a lot of different things. We have higher freight costs in Norway in generally, which is quite significant as well. So there's several reasons, and we especially in Economic Norway, we are doing a have started already a job in really trying to get rid of a lot of costs. So it's both it's in all areas.
Okay. Regarding the sales distribution of the customer groups, could you say something about how do you see this in you know, 5 years from now? How do you see that distribution? And perhaps on that topic, then you can add also that you are speaking about integrating forward and acquire workshops, and I guess also try to make more affiliated ones. So maybe that will also push that share up. But where do you see this 5 years from now? And on the workshops, then, if you're going to acquire workshops going forward, what kind of prices do you typically pay for that? And how many, how large share of the affiliated ones can you potentially own 5 years from now?
This is very difficult when you talk about 5 years, but to give you a hint of a feeling, but don't take this as a budget or something. But I think that we need to strengthen the workshops, which are the affiliate workshops, and that is done by pushing more quality standards, pushing more. Best practice to do them more better towards the consumer, but also more profitable. I definitely think that there is a big possibility for us to own more of the workshops that we do now. Now it's only 35 out of 1,000 in Sweden, so that should increase. However, that is in which tempo, it's very difficult to say, because it's very important to find the right workshop to acquire, and should find those who are for sale and that are possible, and so on. So we'll try to increase that tempo, but I wouldn't say that it will be a dramatic change in the future. The most important is to strengthen that part of the sales in especially in the bigger brands. So I would say that we will probably have a higher share of our sales will be through the affiliate workshops in 5 years, definitely, and some higher part of that will also be company owned in the future.
Okay. Maybe I missed up, but in Norway, is there any cost savings program that you are launching, or which will include any extraordinaries in the fourth quarter?
Yeah, it will be of course, a cost-saving program in Mekonomen and Norway. Not that we have defined in numbers and communicate, but it's definitely something which is launched already. And we are in the middle of the budget process, so we are very deep into that numbers at the moment.
Mm. We are reviewing all cost items in all the companies, but especially Mekonomen and Norway, of course.
A bit of a long-term question here. The electrification of the car fleet, which I guess will come gradually, perhaps slower than many think, but nevertheless, it's going to happen. And of your current assortment, what you sell to customers, how much of that, how big a share would also be relevant for a pure electrical vehicle? In value terms. Secondly, if going forward the value or the service value, the aftermarket value of an electrical car, if more of that is the work being done rather than the stuff that you need to replace, is that part of your strategy to move forward in the value chain as well?
Yeah, you are right in the last assumption that, of course, if there will be lower sales per car in the future car park, then we want to be in the next trade level to be able to sell the labor time and services as well. And when you ask about the assortment, I would say I don't have any number because it's very different if it's a pure electrical or if it's a hybrid or whatever. And we haven't seen this because they seem to change what will be the best kind of car every second year. So we will see in the future. But we definitely see that, I mean, in a pure electrical car, then there is no oil, of course, and there is less moving parts. But on the other hand, it will be probably sales of software updates for those kind of cars, and it can be sales of new battery packs and so on. And I believe that our assortment that will adjust and change in the future, so we will always have the products which is needed by the new cars.
Okay, final question from me. In the presentation now, you mentioned MECA having an EBIT margin of 10%, which is in line with the long-term goal. I guess the long-term goal is to have a group operating margin of 10%, which also includes overhead costs, which means that the business areas have to be a bit above 10%. So you did not give any guidance on MECA having an EBIT margin of 10% as a long-term goal.
No, it goes to the group 10%. But overhead cost is distributed to the daughter companies. But the goal is for the group.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. We do one more reminder. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. And the next question comes from Niklas Pham from SEB Equity Research. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Thanks, operator. Just one follow-up question. I probably missed your answer, but what was the answer on the previous question on the share of sales relating to combustion engine cars, please?
I don't know if I understand the question correctly, but the question was about how our assortment fits to the future new kind of cars, electrical cars. And if that was your question as well, I didn't give an answer. Because the assortment will develop during the years, and it's quite obviously that an electrical car doesn't need oil and it has less moving parts. So of course there is something which we have, which the cars doesn't need, but we will always have the right spare parts for the car, nevertheless how it's built together.
All right, thanks. That's all.
And we do have another question from Michael Lerstall from Carnegie. Please go ahead, your line is now open.
Yeah, sorry, I forgot. On the general market, could you say something about the competition, both on the spare parts side and perhaps also on the workshop side? What is happening? Who's gaining market share? Is there anyone out there that are struggling with profitability and so on in Sweden and in Norway?
It's difficult because we are the only listed company which you can have quarterly reports. So to have the right numbers, we need to wait until they present their results for this year. So it's To be very exact, we have to wait until next spring or summer until we can see exactly what's happening. The feeling which I have is that very small changes, some give and take, and the changes is very much regionally affected, that in one area, one city, somebody is better, and then in some others, it's some others. I believe that the market share in total, if you compare authorized versus independent, has been positive for the authorized, thanks to that there is a lot of new cars in the workshops where they have the high market share. So they probably be a little bit of a winner. They also have all the warranty jobs which they invoice to the factory. And of course, it's a lot of new cars and they have some claims, they have some income from that as well.
Okay, thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. We do a quick reminder and the last reminder. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Thank you. There are no further questions coming through this call, so I will now hand the call back to CEO Per Oscarsson for any concluding remarks. Thank you.
No, nothing remaining, so thank you all for listening, and bye-bye.
Thank you for joining today's conference. You may now replace your handset to end this call. Thank you.